Shabbos, I don't give an official Shabbos Hagadol Drasha because the rabbi of my shul does that. But we had a Shalosh Shudos that I spoke at, and the ideas that I shared then, I'm going to share with you now. And we'll do it more b'ksav. Shalosh Shudos, I spoke for about a half hour. I shared it more baal peh, but let's learn it inside. I like to try to. For Shabbos Hagadol, I like to try to take a halachic sugya and try to understand the pnimius of that idea and the lesson in the Avodas Hashem. Okay, so we'll start with just a sugya in Gemara, the opening mishnah of the 8th parak of Psachim. Okay, on page number 1 in front of you. Ha'isha bezman shehiba bezabala, shachar aleha bala v'shachar aleha aviha, tochal mishal bala. The mishnah at the beginning of the 8th parak of Psachim describes a situation where you have a person who we're not exactly sure where or how they're going to be eligible to eat the Karban Pesach. So, for example, the opening case is you have a woman, she got married, she lives with her husband, she still feels a connection, obviously on some level, to her parents' home. So says the Mishnah, Ha'isha bezman shi beves bala, a woman who's living in her husband's home, Shachat aleha bala v'shachat aleha avia, and both her husband and her father shechted the Karban Pesach with her in mind. So whose Karban Pesach does she eat? Says the Mishnah, tochal mishal bala. She eats her husband's Karban Pesach because she's primarily rooted in her husband's home. Presumably that's where her mind is primarily. Her father still had her in mind, whatever that means exactly. So she eats from her husband's Karban Pesach. The Mishnah says, what happens if she goes a few days before Pesach to live by her parents, to spend Yontav by her parents? So then, primarily, she is connected to her father's Karban Pesach. In which case, if her husband shechs and her father shechs, the Mishnah says she has a choice. Either one would be acceptable. She could eat by either Karban Pesach. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, what happens if you have a Yasom? What happens if you have an orphan? A child without parents, and they assign several apotropsin, they assign several caretakers for this child. Multiple caretakers. So this one shechs a Karban Pesach for the Yasom, and that one shechs a Karban Pesach for the Yasom. So now, where does the orphan eat his Karban Pesach? Does he eat by this one? Does he eat by that one? Again, the Mishnah says, b'makom shu rotza. He eats wherever he wants. Okay, so far we have a woman who's in her husband's home, whose father still has her mind. She's primarily by her husband, so she eats by her husband. If she goes to her parents, then she could eat either by her parents, by her father, or by her husband. And an orphan has multiple caretakers who slaughter the Karban Pesach on his behalf. He can eat again by either one. Okay. The next case is Eved Shel Shnei Shutfim. What happens if two people jointly own an Eved and they both want their Eved to eat the Karban Pesach? Again, joint ownership over this Eved. So says the Mishnah, Lo Yochel Mishal Shnean. He can't eat from both of them. Perhaps what the Gemara explains, he can't eat from either of them. Because each master thinks, what do you mean, I'm the main master of this Eved? Each one is machbir that the Eved shouldn't eat the Karban Pesach by the other one. So Nebuch, the poor Eved's got, he ends up nowhere. Because the one who owns 50% of the Eved says, well, I'm not going to let him eat Yankel's Karban Pesach. And the other one said, well, I'm not going to let him eat Beryl's Karban Pesach. So the Eved ends up not eating anyone's Karban Pesach. So it seems from the Gemara. And finally, the last case of the Mishnah, which is the one we're going to focus on, which is underlined, Mi shechetzio Eved v'chetzio ben chorin. What about a person who's a chatzi Eved and he's a chatzi ben chorin? He's half a slave, he's half free. He's half an Eved, he's half free. How do you have such a scenario? So we're trying to say, very simply, how do you have such a scenario? You have a scenario where you have a person who had two masters, right? Two people had joint ownership over an Eved, and one of them decided to set him free. So now he's half a free person, but he's still meshubed to his other master. So he's a chatzi Eved, and he's a chatzi ben chorin. So what do you do with such a Jew? Says the Mishnah, lo yochel mishal rabo. He cannot eat his master's Karban Pesach. He cannot eat his master's Karban Pesach. Look at Rashi. Lo yochel mishal rabo, it's underlined. Dimistama lo hayadas rabo limanos chelak acheres al pischam. Because presumably when his master shechted the Karban Pesach, At most, he had this guy half in mind, because he only has half ownership over him. Right? Presumably, he didn't sign up the chelak hacheiros, the half part of this eved that's free, half part of this person that's free. His master didn't have him in mind. The truth is, the Rashash says in the back of the Gemara that even if the master had him in mind, presumably the eved didn't have his master in mind, because this fellow is kind of in limbo. He's a chatzi eved, a chatzi ben chorin. So he didn't assume that he's not an eved, he's not going to eat by his master. Okay, so the Mishnah says, lo yochel mishol rabu, he does not eat by his master. Does that mean that he doesn't eat at all? Does that mean he doesn't eat by his master, but he eats his own Karban Pesach? So the Gemara has a long discussion about the first cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara goes off on a tangent, goes on a Gadata for about a daf of Gemara. And then finally, if you turn the page on Pei Chesamad Aleph, the Gemara comes back to our case, the case of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, person who's half an Eved, half free. And what did the Mishnah say? Chavra, let's be clear. Let's get the Gemara down. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, Lo Yochel Mishel Rabo. He doesn't eat his master's Karban Pesach. Is that hinting to something? Says the Gemara on page number 2. Says the Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom by the arrow. Mishal rabo hu delo yochal. Aval mishal atzmo yochal. What's implied from the Mishnah is that what? He does not eat his master's Karban Pesach, but he does. That's what's implied. He's half an Eved, half a Ben. Can't eat his master's, but it's implied that he can eat his own. Says the Gemara of Hatanya, but we have a brisa that says, Lo yocha lo mishalo velo mishal rabo. We have a brisa that says, a person who is a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, does not eat his master's Karban Pesach, and does not eat his own Karban Pesach. In other words, he doesn't eat Karban Pesach. So which is it? The Mishnah implies he shouldn't eat by his Rebbe, his master, mashma, he can eat his own Karban Pesach. The Brisa says explicitly what? He can't eat his master, and he can't eat his own Karban Pesach. So which is it? Answers the Gemara, Lo Kasha, Kan B'Mishnah Rishona, Kan B'Mishnah Achrona. Okay, so let's put aside Pesachim for a few minutes, and let's understand what is Mishnah Rishona, and what is Mishnah Achrona. And then we'll plug it back into Pesachim. Okay, so let's read inside, let's find out. What is Mishnah Rishona? What is Mishnah Achrona? So there's a Mishnah. Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona means the original teaching and the latter teaching. There was someone who had an opinion originally and then later changed their opinion. That's what it means. Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona. Who had an opinion and then changed their opinion? Beis Hillel. In what context? So let's see. Ditnan, 2 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught, it's a Mishnah Meseches Eidos in the first parak, the Mishnah in Meseches Gittin as well. And it's quoted in several other places in Shas. Misha chetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin, a person who's half a slave and half a free person, oved esarabo yom echad, vesatzmo yom echad, divrei beis hillel, kama. A person who's a chatzi eved, he's a half a servant and chatzi ben chorin, he's half a free person. So what does he do? How does he live his life? Says beis hillel, he serves his master one day and he serves himself one day. Chavir, you hear? He alternates. Sunday he works for his master. Monday he works for himself. Tuesday he works for his master. Wednesday he works for himself. Thursday he works for his master. Friday he works for himself. He spends his whole life alternating between the world of what? Of a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Says Beis Shammai Omrim, turn the page, page 3. Beis Shammai Omrim tekantem esrabo vesatzvo lo tekantem. In terms of his master, that's a great arrangement. Because his master's entitled to 50% of his efforts, his work. So he gets 50% of his work. But just think about this poor guy, says Beis Shammai. His whole life trapped in the world of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. He's not here, he's not there. What's going to be with this guy? Lisa Shifcha Eino Yochel. How's this guy going to live his life? How's he going to build a family? No, it should be every person's aspiration to build a home, to get married, to build a family. How's this guy going to live his life? Can he marry a shifcha? He can't marry a shifcha. Why? Shekvar chatzio ben chorin. because he's half a free person. He's not eligible to marry a Shifcha Kananis. Lisa Bas Chorin, to marry a free woman, Einu Yachol, he's not able. You know why? Shadayin Chatzu Eved. Because he's half an Eved. So this guy can't get married. He can't marry a free woman. He can't marry a Shifcha. Yibotel? Should the poor guy never build a family, never get married, not have children? The world was created to be populated. Puravu. Shinamar, the Pasuk says, Navi Yin Yishaya says, Lo Sohu Vara, Lo Sohu Vara, the world was not meant to remain in a state of Tohu, Tohu Vavo, Lo Sohu Vara, rather, Lashevis Yitzra. It's meant to be settled. The world is meant to be populated. So Nebuch, this poor guy, he's stuck. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. What are we going to do with him? Says Beis Shammai, Elam Ipnei Tikkun HaOlam, Kofen Es Rabo, Va'oso Oso Ben Chorin. We can't allow this guy to get stuck 50-50. Not a normal way for a person to live their life. So you know what we do, says Beis Shammai? Kofen Es Rabo, we force his master to free him entirely. What about the fact that he owes his master 50% of, you know, his earnings? What's he going to do? V'kosev shtar al chatzi damav. And we write a document saying whatever his half worth is, yeah, let's say half his value is, I don't know, $50,000. I have no idea. Right? So we'll write a document that he owes his master $50,000. Now he's a free person. He'll enter into society. He'll make a living. And over time, he'll pay off the $50,000. He doesn't have money right now because he's an Eved. Everything an Eved owns belongs to his master. So he doesn't have a penny to his name. On the days that he works for himself, it's a good question. What happens to that money? Presumably goes to his master also. Right? What does it mean he works for himself? It just means that he's not meshubid to whatever his master tells him to do on those days. Okay, but he writes a document. We have to get this guy out. We can't allow him to be stuck. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So we're kofen es rabo to free him, and we write a document that he'll pay whenever he can, and that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Concludes the Gemara. Look at the last line, right before the next Mishnah. V'chazru Beis Hillel lahoros k'Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel eventually retracted their position and they adopted the position of Beis Shammai. What was Beis Hillel's original opinion? One day here, one day there. What is Beis Hillel's changed opinion? Like Beis Shammai, we have to find a way to get this guy out of captivity. He can't live his life as a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chor. We have to find a way to set him free. So he forced his master to set him free, and he'll pay it off over time. And Beis Hillel eventually changed their position to adopt the position of Beis Shammai. Okay? That's what the Gemara is calling Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona. Mishnah Rishona, Beis Hillel's original opinion, where he spends his life one day here, one day there. Mishnah Achrona is Beis Hillel's final opinion, which is Kofen Es Rabo, we force his master to set him free. We're going to paskin like Beis Hillel. Okay? Yeah, what do you want to say?
This might not be relevant to what you're trying to get, but isn't this guy most represent what we're trying to do on Beis Hillel?
Okay, slow down. We'll get there. Good.
Also, Pratt, not only
there. Good. We'll get there.
Beis Hillel was of the opinion that this one day here, one day there. What was his suggested block of Isa for where to go for Karim Pesach?
Oh, so good. So now let's plug it back into Karim Pesach. Good. So now we have two opinions. Right, we have Beis Hillel's original opinion, which was you live a life of chatzi chatzi, and then we have Beis Hillel's changed opinion, which is we have to get him free. Okay, now let's try to line that up. We have a Mishnah that implies that he doesn't eat from his master's Karban Pesach, but he eats his own Karban Pesach, and we have a Braisa that says what? He never eats Karban Pesach. So which one aligns with Beis Hillel's original opinion, and which one aligns with Beis Hillel's converted opinion? Okay, so turn back one page. Let's read Rashi. And Rashi represents Rov Rishonim, the majority of the Rishonim on this issue. Says Rashi where it's underlined on page 2. Mishnah Rishona, Beis Hillel's original opinion that what? That he spends his life Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Says Rashi, Kodem Shechazru Beis Hillel, before Beis Hillel changed their opinion, Lo Yochel Mishal Atzmo, he does not eat his own Karban Pesach. Meaning what? Beis Hillel's original opinion that he's 50-50. Follows the Mishnah or the Braisa? But we know from the Mishnah for sure he doesn't eat his master's karm Pesach. Says Rashi, Beis Hillel's original opinion, lo yochal mishal atzmo. He doesn't even eat his own karm Pesach. Mipnei she'ein chelak avdus nimshach acher daito. So Rashi says, according to the Braisa, which says what? He never eats karm Pesach. That was Beis Hillel's original opinion. However, again, what's Beis Hillel's original opinion? He's stuck chatzi aved chatzi ben chorin. So that's like the Braisa that says what? He doesn't eat his master's carbon Pesach. Why? Because he's half a free person. He doesn't eat his own carbon Pesach. Why? Because he's half an Eved. So he's, you know, nishtahir, stuck in the middle, doesn't eat. What about Beis Hillel's Mishnah Achrona? Beis Hillel's changed opinion, which is what? We force him to go free. That's going to be like what? Like our Mishnah, which says he doesn't eat his master's Karban Pesach, but he does eat his own Karban Pesach. Why does he need his own Karban Pesach? He's going free. Look at Rashi. Mishnah Achrona. Last Rashi on the page. Hoel uviadenu l'shacharo. Since he is able to go free, harehu keben chorin v'ochel mishal atzmo. Since he's going to go free, we view him as a ben chorin, and he eats his own Karban Pesach. Okay? So that means what? So what does that mean, halacha l'maisa? Who are we going to paskin like in halacha? Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Who are we going to paskin like in halacha? Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? We always paskin like Beis Hillel. Right? We always paskin like Beis Hillel. And are we going to paskin like Beis Hillel when they were working out the sugya or when they finally came to their conclusion? We're going to paskin like Beis Hillel when they came to their conclusion. Right? Which happens to also be like Beis Shammai in this case, because Beis Shammai originally had this opinion. So what should the halacha l'maisa be? Chatzi Eved, v'chatzi ben Chorin, what's the halacha? Yochel Mishal Atzmo. He eats his own Karan Pesach because he's going to go free. Because we're going to force him to go free. And that's our Mishnah. Mishnah is the halacha l'maisa. He doesn't eat his master's. What it implies is he does eat his own. Okay, that should be the halacha. That's a simple way to learn the Gemara. Yes? One day. Whatever day the kind, okay, good question. That's a good achrayinisha question. Yeah, that's a question the achrona would ask. Maybe on the day that the karban pesach falls out, right? So that's where he is. We define him by that day. It's a great question. I don't have a clear answer, but it's a good question. Okay, so this is the opinion of Rashi, and again, most Rishonim. Turn to page 4. Comes along the Heilige Rambam. Can't go into Pesach without learning a Heilige Rambam. A Heilige Rambam means a difficult Rambam that you have to work out. Okay? Comes along the Rambam in Hilchos Karban Pesach. Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel. Bottom of page 4. Last Halacha on the page. Mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. Oh, we know that case. A person who is a chatzi. Lo yocha lo mishal rabo velo mishal atzmo. Achiyase kulo ben chorin. Chatzi Eved Chatzi ben chorin does not eat the Karban Pesach at all. Hold on. Rashi told us that Chatzi Eved Chatzi ben chorin, halacha l'maisa, Mishnah Achrona, Beis Hillel's position, after they changed their opinion, is that what? He eats Mishal Atzvo. Comes on the Rambam and says, Chatzi Eved Chatzi ben chorin, no. Chatzi Eved Chatzi ben chorin doesn't eat his master's, doesn't eat his own. Achiyase kulo ben chorin. Interesting lashon. Achiyase kulo ben chorin. Look at the Ravid. You see the Ravid? The Ravid is a little note inserted alongside the Rambam. Hasagas harem. Misha chetzu eved ad mishal atzmo. Aleph alamar Avraham. Says the Ravid. His name was Avraham. Hello kihilchasa. This is not the halacha. What is the Rambam talking about? The Mishnah Achrona Ocha Mishal Atzmo. Like Shavah said, like Mordechai said, right? The Gemara's conclusion was what? It seems to be the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. We're going to force his master to set him free. And therefore, like Rashi said, according to the Mishnah Achrona, Beis Hillel's changed opinion, that's what our Mishnah was talking about. When the Mishnah said he doesn't eat his master's, Mashma, he does eat his own, that's the halacha. Comes along the Rambam, lo kehilchasa, and the Rambam says, Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin doesn't eat any Karban Pesach. Lo mishalo, lo mishalatzmo. What's the pshat? How do you learn this Rambam? How do you learn the Rambam, yeah?
What
do you mean, Achiasakul Menchor? Well, he's going to go free. Look back at Rashi. What did Rashi say? Rashi said, what happens if he right now is still Chatzi Chatzi? So Rashi told us, what did Rashi tell us? Rashi told us if he's not yet gone free, look what Rashi said. Go back to the Rashi, the last Rashi on page 2. Ho'el uviyadeinu l'shachro, since it's within our ability to free him. Meaning right now he's still Chatzi Chatzi. What does he do right now? It's Erev Pesach. It's Karban Pesach time. What does he do right now as a Chatzi of a Chatzi Ben Chorin? So Rashi says, Yochel Mishalatzvo. He's not free yet, but the halacha says he's going free, so we view him as a free person. The Rambam apparently learned the Gemara the opposite way. The Rambam apparently learned the Gemara that what? That a person who could go free, but has not gone free, does not eat the Karban Pesach at all. How does the Rambam then learn the other opinion, the first part? So that means according to the Rambam, let's plug it back in. That means according to the Rambam, right? When does he eat Mishal Atzmo? According to Beis Hillel's original opinion. If he's stuck as Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, then he eats Mishal Atzmo. But according to the Rambam, if he's destined to be free but has not yet gone free, he doesn't eat the Karban Pesach at all. Let's say it again. According to the Rambam, when our Mishnah said he doesn't eat his master's, which implies that he eats what? His own Karban Pesach. When is that? According to who? That's according to Beis Hillel's original opinion. That means according to the Rambam, when he's stuck, switching off one day here, one day there, whose Karban Pesach does he eat? He eats Mishal Atzmo. Why? How? According to Beis Hillel's final opinion, that what? Chaver, stay with me. Could die to get the Gemara down also. Not just the Musar at the end. No? According to Beis Hillel's final opinion, which is what? He's going to go free. Right? Says the Rambam, if he has not yet gone free, then he does not eat at all.
Isn't that like the Beis Hillel's first opinion?
Beis Hillel's first opinion is what? Is that if he's going to spend one day here, one day there, the Rambam says, is that when he eats Mishal Atzmo. But if he's going to go free, right, but has not actually yet gone free, then the Rambam paskins clearly, Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, if he's still stuck, Lo Yochel Mishal Rabo, Velo Mishal Atzmo, Ad Sheyaseh Kulo Ben Chorin, until he actually frees himself, until we write that shtar, until we free him, until his master actually releases him from his avdus. Now let's just think about the first part for a second. If he's stuck switching off days, why does he eat Mishal Atzmo? The opinion of the Rambam is if he's switching off days, he eats Mishal Atzma. Why? So the Mefarshim and the Rambam say, no, he's not going to be free. According to Beis Hillel's first opinion, that he's going to spend his whole life back and forth. One day here, one day there. Why does he eat Mishal Atzma? So the Mefarshim and the Rambam explain there's a principle that can allow Beis Din to help him. It's called Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. The Gemara in Yevamos, that the Beis Din has the ability to so to speak, suspend his master's ownership over him. So Beis Din says, listen, this guy is going to spend the rest of his life Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Think about it. When he was entirely an Eved, what did he do for Karban Pesach? He had his master's Karban Pesach. So now that he's Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, he's not going to eat Karban Pesach for the rest of his life? Can't be. So what does Beis Din do? Beis Din uses a mechanism called Hefker Beis Din Hefker. We, so to speak, take away his owner's ownership over him enough to allow him to what? To eat his own Karban Pesach. But according to Beis Hillel's final opinion, which is what? He's actually going to go free. So what happens if for whatever reason we didn't do it yet? So Beis Hillel says, we're not going to get involved, right? By next year, he'll be a free person. He'll eat Karban Pesach regularly. We're not going to use Hefker Beis Din Hefker to help him this one time. Again, if this is his whole life that he's stuck one day here, one day there, we got to help this guy. He can't lose out on Karban Pesach. But if he's destined to go free, says the Rambam, and has not yet gone free, then too bad. Then no carbon Pesach for you. Okay? So, Chaver, the main thing I want you to walk away from is the fact that the Rambam learns the sugya in the less obvious way. And again, of all the points, I want you to understand the Rambam is saying, halacha lemaisa, achati eved, chati ben chorin, one who is destined to go free, but has not yet gone free, does not eat the carbon Pesach. Lo mishalo, velo mishal rab. Okay? What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's try to understand more deeply what all of this means. Yeah. According to Rashi, according to what? The Beis Hillel's original opinion or later opinion? According to Beis Hillel's original opinion, he's stuck 50-50 and he doesn't eat Karvan Pesach. He's never here, never there. He eats his own. What do you mean, who says? According to Beis Hillel's final opinion, that he's going to go free, Rashi says, since he's going to go free, he eats his own Karvan Pesach. Okay, we'll figure that out. Good question. There's ways we can get him money. There's ways we can get him registered for Karban Pesach. On his own doesn't mean his own, right? Meaning his own doesn't. No one eats their own Karban Pesach. Own means he's not meshubid to wherever his master's eating. He can join a different chabura. How he's going to pay for it, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out for him. It's a good question, but we'll figure it out. That's not going to stop us. Yeah. Because there's already a broader mechanism in place to help him, right? Meaning,
no, I'm saying, why is he just skipping over a year, saying it's not necessary to help him this year if he's going to be free next year?
Because we want him to get, if the halacha is he should be free, we got to get him free. We don't want to delay the process, also, right? We don't want to use loopholes to get him a Karban Pesach this year. If the halacha is kofen es rabo, we force his master to free him. So we should work on that, right? And even if he means this, yeah. Let's get him free. So the Rambam says, Ajia Kulo Ben Chorin. You got to become a Kulo Ben Chorin if you want to eat the Karban Pesach. You have the means to free yourself. So Rashi says, the fact that you could free yourself means you're free. Rambam says, no, the fact that you could free yourself, until you're free, you're not free. Your mamash is the most trapped. The fact that you're not taking advantage of the opportunity to free yourself. Yeah, Seth.
Does that mean that he's not free by choice, or just like
his time? Well, again, we have to... Again, how it works, the Beis Din has to force his master. Again, I'm not sure exactly how it plays out in terms of him being freed, right? I mean, it says, Kofin es rabo, which means they force his master. I guess it's kind of a communal obligation. It's the Beis Din's obligation. But we have to get this guy out, and he needs to say, this is the halacha. I'm not,
when you say
I don't want...
Not yet free. You're saying that he decided to stay, or that just the process hasn't happened?
The process hasn't happened yet, yeah. I mean, there's Bava Kama involved here also, if you think about it, right? Let's say Akira and I own a slave together, okay? So I decide to free the slave. I decide to free my 50%, right? So you understand that I just caused him a loss. Because according to the halacha, what's going to happen now? He has to free him now. Because the halacha is, we don't let someone stay chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. So my decision just affected my business partner in a significant way. So I think the Sfas in his writings on Shas talks about that. Okay, so there's a little Bava Kama in the sugya as well. Okay, the Bnei Yisasser on page 5 explains the pnimius of this whole sugya. Okay, for the sake of time, I'm gonna summarize a lot of it. Page 5, 6, and 7 is the Bnei Yisasser. Obviously, I was never planning on reading the whole thing inside, but I want to show you some selected lines. The Bnei Yisasser writes, in the name of the Ramah, in the Torah Sa'ola, by the first arrow on page 5, he says, there are three Karbanos Yachid that are not brought as Karbanos Sibor. They are Bechor, the firstborn animal, Meiser, and Karban Pesach. Bechor, Meiser Behema, and Karban Pesach. Explains the Ramah and the Torah Sa'ola, and the Bnei Yisasser explains here. These three karbanos, which are brought by individuals, represent three stages in the life of an individual. What are the three stages in the life of a person? what he calls Yemei Aliyah, the days of ascent, when you're first coming into your own. Yemei Amida, the days of standing, meaning kind of the bulk of your life, that middle section of your life, right, once you've kind of reached your place. And then Yemei Yerida, the descent, coming down and preparing for the end of one's life. So he explains that these three periods of one's life correspond to these three karbanos. Bechor, a firstborn, right, is the beginning of one's life. Meiser is the Yemei Yerida, is the end of one's life, because Eser, the number 10, is really the highest number. So Meiser represents kind of the end, when you've maxed out. Karban Pesach, and that's the one we're going to focus on, of course, corresponds to what? The Yemei Amida, the middle section of one's life. Most of my life is the story of Karban Pesach. Most of a Yid's life is the story of Karban Pesach. So explains the Bnei Yisachar. He says, when it comes to Karbanos, Karban Pesach, so to speak, is that middle. The middle is always, right? The extremes are never how we look at Torah. Torah always is about the middle. The extremes are not what we focus on. We focus on when a person has kind of the Bechira in the middle. Not the extremes. We don't look at the outliers. We look at the middle. The Rambam always talks about the Shvil Azav, the middle path. The middle path, the middle of one's life, the bulk of one's life, which is probably around the age you're at now, is the beginning of the Yemei Amida, right, around this stage, until like you're preparing, you know, for the end of your life. So the overwhelming majority of one's life is Yemei Amida, is called Karban Pesach. Says the Bnei Yisachar, when it comes to animal offerings, there are big offerings. Sometimes you use bakar, you use cattle. Sometimes you use very small offerings, oaf, bird. Sometimes you have middle offerings. That's Karban Pesach. It's a lamb, it's a goat, it's a sheep, it's a goat, it's a seh, right? It's its own. It's middle. The same thing he says is true when it comes to the weather of Pesach. There are times in the calendar which are very hot. There are times in the calendar which are very cold. Right? And then, of course, there's the middle, which is the springtime. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, Dafka and Mitzrayim, took us out from Mitzrayim, as David HaMelech emphasizes, Motzi Asirim B'Koshros, Hashem took us out at a kosher time, at a good time, a middle time, not too hot, not too cold. He didn't ask us to bring a bird offering, he didn't ask us to bring a ram, he asked us to bring what? A sheep. Middle. Karban Pesach represents the middle. So says the Bnei Yisachar, what's the main struggle of the middle of one's life? Which is really, again, the bulk of one's life, right? Let's assume that when you go to yeshiva, that's like still really like, that's still the first stage of one's life. That's Yemei Aliyah. Yeah, because it's a bubble. You're living in a bubble. It's easy to be inspired. It's easy to be a Bnei Aliyah, to be the Yemei Aliyah. But then a person has to figure out, okay, Lamaisa, okay, good. So the inspiration from Shana Aleph has worn off a little bit, and now I have to make some critical decisions for really the bulk of my life. It could be when I'm like 75 or 85 years old, I'll all of a sudden realize that, you know, I didn't really learn so much Torah in my life, and all of a sudden I'll have this reawakening and start learning again. That's the Yemei Yerida. But what about the big middle section of one's life? Am I going to dedicate it to Avodas Hashem? Or, after like, you know, the Chevra starts to mellow out a little bit, post-Israel, and we start focusing on different things, so I'm going to fall into that trap. And by the way, that's not just like the couple of years, meaning that's like your 60s, right? Like the whole, like what is your 9 to 5 going to look like? Or what is your 12 to 12 going to look like? What is your whole day going to look like? What's your life going to look like? Where are you going to live? What type of person are you going to marry? What kind of job are you going to pursue? How much Torah are you going to learn? Are you going to work on your midos? Are you going to conquer your Yetzirah? That's all the Yemei Amida. That's Karban Pesach. So says the Bnei Yisachar in the bottom paragraph on page 5, Hine nomar l'darcho shomaran zal, hine nitztavinu mebitzvah zos, dafka b'yemei tzeisenu meretz Mitzrayim me'avdus l'cheirus, as we came out of Mitzrayim avdus l'cheirus, at a time that was middle temperatures, and we brought a mid-sized karban, corresponding to what? To the middle of our life. We were born out of Mitzrayim, now Hashem says, okay, now it's time to live. L'horos kimasho tzionu Hashem yisbarach l'cheirus, hu k'dei sh'niyeh be'emes b'nei chorin gemurim. Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim because I want you to be a truly free person. And a truly free person is not someone who's enslaved to the idea of making his first $1 million. A truly free person is meshubadim lo l'torasu mitzvosa. Real freedom is what? Is being a person whose life is defined, the overwhelming majority of my life is defined by Torah and mitzvos. Kamosha amru chazal, ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osek b'talmud Torah. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, a truly free person is a person who what? Who's involved in Torah study. Last line of the page, Masha ein kein misha mevale yamav bishtadlis laharbos hon. As opposed to a person who spends his whole life chasing a fancier car, a bigger house, more money in the bank. Turn the page, page 6. Uvredifa sataiva. Or he says, you know, I'm not going to be the next Rav Herschel Schechter, so I might as well just like strive for something else. Because it would stink to like kind of just be like middle of the road. I'm not a huge Talmud Chacham, but I'm also not like the richest guy in my neighborhood. So, but that's Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is being okay in the middle, knowing that I'm a Ben Chorin, and I'm much more free than the guy who's, you know, who's running a billion-dollar hedge fund. I'm much more free than him. I may have less money in the bank, that's true, but I'm much more free. Hineu eved meshubad lekesef izav letaivos shonos. Right? Chaval, a person who leaves Mitzrayim just to become a slave to money, and a slave to what his perception of freedom is. V'yirdof acharayim b'yom v'alayla b'tzinu u'pachim, that a person, day and night, is always chasing, working more hours, trying to climb the corporate ladder, yeah, with all sorts of challenges, v'sakanos v'ein menucha, putting himself in danger, if not physical danger, certainly spiritual danger, to become whatever his dimion of what success is. He says, if you jump down to the next underlined section, how sad it is, says the Bnei Yisrael, for a Jew to leave Mitzrayim just to be a slave to some idea, to be a slave to corporate America, to be a slave to whatever it is. Hinei lechinam yotzel mitzrayim, he says where it's underlined. You left Mitzrayim in vain. Diyatziya mitzrayim nikra cheirus olam. Leaving Mitzrayim, we say every night in Ma'ariv, is called cheirus olam. As the Chassam Sofer explained, cheirus min ha'olam, freed from the world. I don't want to be a slave to the world anymore. I don't want to be meshubet to the world. Masha'ein kein ha'ish ha'olami kazeh akati me'avdei paroho. As opposed to this individual who's still a slave to Paro. It's a different Paro. V'yakam melech hadash ha'mitzrayim. It's a new melech mitzrayim. Right? But it's the same old Indian. You're still a slave. And he says, this is the question of the Rasha at the Seder. Because the Rasha doesn't appreciate Torah and mitzvahs. So the Rasha says, I don't get it. Mahavod azos lachem. We were slaves in Mitzrayim, and now we're slaves to God. So we say, Rasha, you're a fool. Don't you understand that working hard for God is the greatest sense of freedom possible? Don't you understand that being meshubed to Torah and mitzvos, being bound to a life of Torah and mitzvos, is the greatest freedom? It's so freeing. It's such an elevated way to live one's life. So now, says the Bnei Yisrael, there are people who are complete slaves to the world. There are people who are completely freed from the world. And then there's the overwhelming majority of us who really struggle in a world called what? Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Choron. Like Elliot said 2 seconds into the shir. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Choron. That's our lives. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Choron. I want to be a free person. I want to be a Ben Choron. Ein lecha Ben Choron, ala misha osek b'talmud Torah. I want to live a life of Torah and mitzvah. I want that to be the ikar of my life. All right? But there's a lot of other things that I feel meshubet to. Turn to page 7. I'm sorry, page 6, I apologize. The left column on page 6. Go to the arrow on page 6, the left column. He says, there are people who are free, there are people who are slaves, and then there's Misha Chetzio Eved V'Chetzio Ben Chorin. Dahainu Shemishtadl B'Shibud Iskei Ha'olam U'Le'itim Osek B'Torah Yishtana Dino. There are people who what? Who sometimes work for the world, sometimes learn Torah and do mitzvos. And what is their din? Well, their din changes, Machlokas Rashi Rambam, or maybe not, depending on their attitude. And look what he explains. It's so important. He quotes a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when a person leaves this world, Shawalin lo la'adam b'yom adin, nasata v'natata b'emuna. You know what? Before we read the Bnei Yisrael, just turn to page 8 for a second. Turn to page 8. We'll come back to the Bnei Yisrael. There was a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham, tremendous gon. Eventually came to Eretz Yisrael, lived in Petach Tikva, wrote amazing deep svarim, a real super genius of Torah named Rav Reuven Katz. He passed away in the 1960s. Rav Reuven Katz wrote the Shalos and Tshuvos Degel Reuven. So, Lamda Sefer. He also wrote a Sefer on Chumash called the Duda'i Reuven, by Reuven Katz. When I first started my teaching career in Moriah, in Englewood, so one of my eighth grade boys was named Reuven Katz, and he was the great-grandson of Reuven Katz, the Degel Reuven. Okay, so in the Duda'i Reuven, in Parshas Mishpatim, he has an unbelievable vart. He says, if you look, the pasuk describes that a father has the ability to offer his daughter as a maidservant. It's a weird halacha. I'm not God forbid speaking bad about the Torah. It's weird for us. It's strange to us. That's what I meant by weird. Very foreign to us. A father would sell his daughter as a maidservant. But the Torah gives the permissibility for a father to do such a thing. Ki yimchor ish as bito la'ama, lo seitze kaseis havadim. But when a person makes his daughter a maidservant, there are rules, and she's not going to follow some of the. She's not going to be a regular, slave, regular servant. Bechlau, when it comes to avadim in Torah, there are rules how an eved has to be treated. The way that an eved's treated when he or she is an eved, there's ways that an eved is treated upon release from their avdus. Right? There's certain injustices that will free them if it happens to them. You knock out an eved's tooth, an eved goes free. So says the Medrash. This pasuk that describes giving over one's daughter as a maidservant is the way that Hashem felt when he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. If you remember, the Gemara says in Shabbos that when Moshe went up to get the Torah, the angel said, don't waste your Torah on people. It's crazy. They're not going to treat your Torah with respect. Don't give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael fought for the Torah, and Hashem gave us the Torah. Moshe fought for the Torah. But says the Medrash, Hashem feels when he gives us the Torah, he feels like it's his daughter being taken into captivity. Quotes the pasuk, Alisa Lamarum Shavisa Shevi. You went to the heights and you kidnapped a captive. That's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu going up to get the Torah. The angels felt like the Torah was being kidnapped by people, by Basar Vadam. So it says of Reuven Katz, where it's underlined in the right hand column on page 8, in the second paragraph on the page, kidnapping the Torah. A strong lashon. Va'advarim niflam shemidama haTorah labas shenimcha v'nishpa liYisrael. Is the Torah really to be compared to a daughter who's been taken captive, so to speak? Halo nitna matana liYisrael. The Torah is given to us as a gift. Hey, why is the Medrash using such strong words to describe the Torah almost being held in captivity by us? I mean, clearly Hashem is reminding us ki lekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu. Treat my Torah with respect. So what does it mean, Chaver, to treat the Torah with respect? Listen to what Reuven Katz says. He says, there's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin. You can see it in the next paragraph. Tosfos in Sanhedrin asks the following question. What's the first question a person is asked when they leave this world? The Gemara talks about the first question that you're asked. What's the first question you're asked?
Your name.
Ask your name? Okay, could be.
Right.
Were you honest in business? Did you learn a lot of Torah? Okay, well, we have different opinions. That's why Tosfos and Masechet Sanhedrin is confused about this. Right? Tosfos and Masechet Sanhedrin says, on the one hand, you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, where it's underlined, Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Ela El Divrei Torah. On the one hand, you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, the beginning of one's judgment is for Divrei Torah. On the other hand, he says, two lines later, it says in Masechet Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, that a person is asked, question number one, Nasata v'natata be'emuna. Were you honest in your business dealings? Question number two, Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time for Torah? So it says Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Zayin, what's question number one? Is it business or is it Torah? Says Rav Reuven Katz. Dihine, I'm reading where it's underlined. Brias ha'odem ba'olam haza. Haguf v'haneshama. Hu inyan shutfis shel shtei kochos. You have to understand. The most important business that you're ever going to be a part of is the business of the guf and the neshama. That's a shutfis. It's a partnership. Right? It's a company that's owned by two partners. One's name is guf, one's name is neshama. It's a bond and a partnership between chomer and ruach, between physicality and spirit. Call it, he says, if you want, Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. Okay? So imagine that Jacob and I go into business together, 50-50, we both invest $100,000 to get our business off the ground, and it's written in the rules that govern our business that we're 50-50 partners, 100% all the way through. 50-50 in terms of responsibilities, 50-50 in terms of ownership, 50-50 in terms of earnings. And then Jacob finds out after 10 years that I've been stealing money from the company. I've been taking 80%, leaving him with 20%. Right? So I'm a big Rasha. I'm a bad person. Right? He feels terribly taken advantage of. And he's obviously very hurt by what he thought was a real partnership, was a real shutfas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a guf and Hashem gave us a neshama. And Hashem said, at the very least, 50-50 partnership. At the very least, 50-50 partnership. But however, what happens when a Jew lives his life and the neshama starts to tip the scales, you know? The guf starts to tip the scales. There was a time maybe when the neshama was earning a lot more, as it should, really it should. Right? But imagine if all of a sudden now the guf is taking 60% and the neshama is getting 40%. The guf's taking 70% and the neshama's taking 30%. The guf's taking 90% and the neshama's getting 10%. So then the business is failing. The business is corrupt. So says Rav Reuven Katz, turn to page 9, actually just turn to page 8, the left-hand column. He says in the left-hand column where it's underlined, the second section, V'ma'odam osek b'chol hayamim rak b'gashmias. If a person becomes focus on the guf and the pleasures of the guf. Ve'eino kovei itim leTorah, and he doesn't set aside a proper amount of time for Torah. Milvad shu over b'chol yom al mitzvah saseh. In terms of learning, in addition to the bittul Torah perspective of his lack of commitment to Torah, who over gam al mishpat hashutfis. You know what else he is? He's a ganav. He's a thief. Is it by chance that the last thing that we say on the way out of Ne'ilah, in the closing section of the Shemona Esrei for Ne'ilah, we say, Hashem, please protect me, me'oshek yadeinu, I don't want to be a thief. You know how the Rav explained it? You know how the Chiddush Erim explained it? You know how many tzaddikim explained it? Oshek yadeinu doesn't mean I shouldn't just steal money. It means that the kochos hanefesh that I've been given, the partnership between what? Between the guf and the neshama, between the chomer and the ruach, between the yetzer hara and the yetzer tov, between olam haz and olam haba, it should be not that the body is stealing 90%. So if a person is only feeding the guf, then the shutfis is corrupt. Sheyesh ben haguf la nesham ba'adam ki'ilu gozel chelak ha'nesham b'chol yom. You're stealing from the neshama every day. So says Rav Reuven Katz, turn to page 9. He says, what's the first question you're asked when you leave this world? Are you asked the question of, were you honest in business? Or are you asked the question, kavati itim l'Torah, did you set aside time to learn Torah? Seems like a contradiction between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Sanhedrin. What's his answer? He says about halfway down the first column, on page 9, you see where it says, the line that begins, B'Gemara Sanhedrin. He says, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the Gemara and Shabbos, de'be'emes chadhu, shtei hasha'ilo yisanizkir le'el. In truth, the two questions are really one question. Because being committed to Torah is being honest in business. You hear? What a vart. You made a deal with Hashem. You took a shvua. When your neshama came to this world, the Gemara says you swore. You swore you're gonna be fair. You're gonna be honest. Chos moshel kadosh baruch hu emes. Hashem wants you to be emistic. So what happens when the business becomes corrupt, and the body is taking 90%? So now let's go back to the Bnei Yisachar. So now we turn back to the Bnei Yisachar on page 6. Says the Bnei Yisachar, there are people who have to work a lot, and it's justified. It's entirely justified. A person has a large family. A person has yeshiva tuition. No? A person has expensive medical expenses. I don't know, whatever it is. Person needs, the child needs to go to different therapists, and the bills are mounting. And the person says, I wish I could learn more Torah, but I need to work and work and work just to keep my family afloat. So of course, such a thing is justified. And the proof is that whenever he has free time, what does he do with it? He immediately goes back to the Beis Medrash. He looks for meaningful ways doesn't spend the Sunday on the couch watching a football game for 3 hours. It's really not a regular season game, God forbid. No? He uses his time more meaningfully. He tries to use his time better. So even if it comes out that in terms of the numbers, a quantitative amount of time he's spending at work, it's justified because the focus of his life is Torah. Kol yamei chayecha. Right? When David HaMelech says, Shifti beveis Hashem, kol yamei chayai, I want to spend all day in the Beis Medrash. I promise you, David was not all day in the Beis Medrash. He was a king who took care of an army and took care of a people and had to run a government. So what did David HaMelech mean when he said, Shifti beveis Hashem, kol yamei chayai? He wasn't talking about how many hours he spends in the Beis Medrash. He was saying, those moments are kol yamei chayai. Those are the greatest moments of my life. The hour a night that I learn, even if I spend most of my day in my office, but Hashem knows who's more excited about the office and who's more excited about going to the Beis Medrash to daven ma'ariv with the minyan to sit and learn for an hour or even a half hour. Hashem knows what's your ikar and what's your tafel. So therefore, there's a person who what? There's a person whose focus of his life is Torah and mitzvahs, even though he spends a lot of time engaged in mundane pursuits, and that's okay. But there's another person who's stealing from the company. There's another person, right, who's spending much more time and energy and effort in Olam Hazeh and much less of a focus on Olam Haba. And even if he learns a little bit, he's Koveitim LaTorah. Hashem says, get out of here, Koveitim LaTorah. You made millions. You bought some stock and you made millions. Why do you even go to work? I don't understand why you go to work. What right do you have to go to work? What right do you have to go to work? To make more and more money? Again, if all the money you're earning is going straight into different tzedakahs or different organizations, great. That's Avodas Hashem. But if you're just still in the game, what? What are you doing? So you said, well, I learned a little bit. That's no excuse. You're a ganav. You're stealing the resources I'm giving you. I gave you life. I woke you up this morning. To what? To go make another million? For what? For what purpose? Go learn how to learn. Get involved in Avodas Hashem. Live a life of Torah and mitzvahs. You should be 90% Torah and mitzvahs by now, based on your bank account, right? You're a thief. It's not fair what you're doing. So says the Bnei Yisachar. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that you're asked in the world to come kavati itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time for Torah? And presumably the right answer to the question is yes. Of course I did. But then he quotes a medrash on page 6 in the last 8 lines on the page that the Shlach Kadosh brings that a person who's kovei itim l'Torah is an embarrassment to Torah. A person who sets aside time for Torah is a disgrace of Torah. How could that be? So Bnei Yisachar says it depends. If you're the type of person who needs to work a lot in order just to survive, then the set time that you have for Torah is totally justified. But if you're a person who should be retired, or you're a person who has the ability to be learning much more, right? Forget retired. If you have a job that allows you a lot more flexibility, and you could be learning more, you could be doing more in Avodas Hashem, and again, you're spending all your free time at the gym or watching a ball game. So then Hashem says, Koveitim LaTorah, that's not enough. Your half hour that you learned, you can easily be doing 2 hours a day. What's a half hour? Hashem says, you're embarrassing me. You're a ganav, you're disgracing the Torah. So says the Bnei Yisachar on page 7, maybe Rashi and the Rambam, going back now to our sugi that we started with, maybe Rashi and the Rambam reflect these two realities. According to Rashi, who eats the Karban Pesach? Rashi says, when does he eat Me'atzmo? Rashi said what? When he's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, right? Rashi says he's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. He eats Mishal Atzmo. Who is he a Chatzi? Who is that? What's that talking about? Rashi says, that's a person who what? Says the Bnei Yisachar, that's a person who what? Who has to work a lot. So yeah, he's a Chatzi Eved. He spends a lot of time working for his boss. He's also a Chatzi Ben Chorin, but as much free time as he can, he spends involved in Torah pursuits. And such a person, Yochel Mishal Atzmo, his life is justified. He can eat his Karban Pesach. Hashem says, you're good. You're a Jew. You eat Karban Pesach. You're part of my team. But the Rambam says what? A Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin doesn't eat Karban Pesach. If he's Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, doesn't eat Karban Pesach, Achia Kulo Ben Chorin. What's the Pshat? What's the Rambam describing? The Rambam's describing a person who could be more free and doesn't have an excuse, and therefore says the Rambam, Achu Kulo Ben Chorin. What right do you have to live a life of Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin? That avdus you don't need to be a slave to. And that's the Vard I really want to share with you. That's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is everyone has a certain avdus that is expected, and Hashem understands it. The fact that you're going to get a job and make a living is okay. Hashem understands it. That's the curse of Adam Arishon. Hashem's okay with that. But when you pick a job that doesn't allow you any time to be a Jew, Hashem says, I'm not okay with that. Or when you take on other forms of avdus, when you enslave yourself to other types of Yetzirah that you don't need to be a slave to, that's what the Rambam says. What do you mean? If you could be free, so then be free. Right? If the Rambam says, if you have a mechanism to free yourself, Chatsi Eved Chatsi Ben Chorin, Kofenes Rabo, like the Gemara says, you could force your master to set you free, you could beat up your Yetzirah and go free, so why are you still a slave? Such a person doesn't need Karban Pesach. So about such a person, Hashem says, get out of here. Don't come back when you're Kulo Ben Chorin. Come back when you know how to be an Emesik Ben Chorin through and through. Hashem says, I don't want you to spend your whole life being a Chatsi Chatsi kind of Jew. I want you to be a Jew all the way through. Turn to page 11. I want to be Malamid Chus a little bit. Because I think so many people, all of us on some level, we all live in a world of Chatsi Eved Chatsi Ben Chorin. We're all a little bit trapped. The avodah of Karban Pesach, again, to be mekayim the sheet of the Rambam means anything that you could be freed from, that you allow yourself to still be enslaved to, is not okay, is not acceptable. The avodah is to be as much as you can a kulo ben chor. There's an amazing vart from the son-in-law of the Sfas Emes on page 11. The sefer is called Yechahein Pe'er, the Bendiner Rav, again, the son-in-law of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. And it's an idea that Rav Kook said in his famous essay Hador, when Rav Kook described our generation. If I were to ask you, how are we doing in the world today? Are we doing better than ever, or are we doing worse than ever? As Jews, what would you say? Tav Shanayin Test, 2019. Pesach, 2019. Yeah? Is Klal Yisrael, what's the trajectory of Klal Yisrael? Would you say we're on the rise? We're falling apart? More people than ever are coming back to Torah? More people than ever are straying from Torah? What would you say? Right? Be better than Yerida Sadaros, Aliyah Sadaros. We're the farthest from Sinai, we're the closest to Mashiach. No, what do you want to say? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he quotes it here by the arrow on page 11. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Sadichas Samar Aleph, Machloches Ein Ben David Ba, Bidur Shekulo Chayev O Kulo Zakai. Mashiach is going to come in a generation that's entirely guilty or entirely innocent. Says the Ben Dina Rav, they're both true. Not they're both separately true. They're both simultaneously true. Rav Kook said about our generation, Rav Kook said we're a Dor Mufla, wondrous generation, that is both Kulo Chayav and Kulo Zakai. We're the most guilty and we're the most innocent. The Ben Dina Rav, the son-in-law of the Sfas Emes, said the exact same thing right here. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. But look how he explains it. They're both true. Rav Kook just says it in passing as a line when he's describing our generation. But the Ben Dina Rav explains it here. Can we sit at the Seder and look Hashem in the face and say, Rabbana Sha'olam, I'm totally innocent. There's nothing I could work on. There's nothing I could be better about. I'm perfect in terms of my davening. I'm perfect in terms of my learning. I'm perfect in terms of my Shmira Sinai. I'm perfect in terms of my Lashon Hara. I'm perfect in terms of my Brachos B'Kavana. I'm perfect in terms of my Shabbos. Come on, let's be honest. There's no one who's innocent. Everyone's guilty. We all know we could do better. And many of us feel, if we're honest, we could want to be Katan Vad Gadol from young to old, from small to big. There's no one who's not guilty. Shiyachol lios v'tzarach lios yoser tov v'zakai. We could all be pure. We could all be holier. We could all be better. And at the same time, such a limud z'chus, says the Ben Dina Rav, but we're also living in impossibly difficult times to be a frum Jew. On the one hand, it's the easiest time to be a frum Jew. What's your excuse? You can't get kosher l'Pesach food. There's not enough products in the marketplace for you. You can't find a way to learn Torah. There's not enough svarim in every language. There's not enough shiurim to download on every topic under the sun. There's nothing to inspire you to learn Torah. You couldn't find something to put on in the car other than sports radio. There's nothing you could find to listen to that you could enjoy, that you could grow from. So we're all entirely guilty. At the same time, he says, let's be honest, there's a Yerida Sadoros. We're living in challenging times. ulefiat saros rachmana litzlan, because of our suffering, because of the challenges, because of having gone through 1900 years of gullus, going through a Holocaust not all that long ago, even though it's starting to, in some ways, seem like a long time ago, but it's really not so long ago. Hayyachol lios yoser chayav, we could be much worse. We could have been a lot more bitter coming out of the Holocaust. Right? And we've grown a lot of Torah in America. We've built a lot of yeshivas, and we're trying. We're doing. We're here. We're sitting here right now in Washington Heights, New York, learning Torah. That's pretty good. I could be a lot worse. I have some friends who are a lot worse. Hashem, I'm trying. I'm doing. I think I'm doing okay. So nimsa shebe'emes ata eilav eilu divrei Elokim chayim. So on the one hand, says the Ben Dina Rav, we're all guilty. On the other hand, we're all innocent. So they're both true. And that's a generation that Mashiach's going to come in. Mashiach's going to come in a generation that is entirely guilty and entirely innocent. A generation in which chatzi yevet chatzi ben choren. Maybe that's just our metzias. Maybe we should pasken like Rashi. Chatzi yevet chatzi ben choren. Okay. Eat the carbon Pesach. But then there's a part of us that wants to be more authentic, you know, more real. Like the Heilige Rambam. We want to be Jews who don't say, well, you know, this is the best I could do. Whereas there's a part of us that says, come on, but I know I could be more free. And if I know I could be more free, so why not go for Kulo Ben Choren? Why not go for the whole thing? Think about it. The whole Seder night is a night of Kulo. Halayla Zeh Kulo Matzah. Halayla Zeh Kulo Maror, according to one Nusach. Halayla Zeh Kulanu Mesubin. Rav Kook has a beautiful essay where he says, Kulanu Mesubin doesn't mean that we all recline. It means we need to be entirely reclining. To go all in. To try to be all in. We say every day, V'havtas Hashem Elokecha, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol meodecha. Yeah? The Bnei Yisasser quotes from the Zidit Shavar. He says, we're supposed to what? V'havtas Hashem Elokecha, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol meodecha. So Bnei Yisasser says, in two places he says it, from Rav Tzvi Hirsch of Zidichov, he says, Ahava b'chol lev, Ava b'chol nefesh, Ava b'chol ma'od, that's what we're striving for, is Gematria Shabbos. 702. Ava b'chol lev, love Hashem with all your heart. Ava b'chol nefesh, love Hashem with all your soul. Ava b'chol ma'od is Gematria 702 Shabbos. Pesach is also called Shabbos. Vimacharas? HaShabbos. What do we do with Archaim? Vimacharas HaShabbos. Pesach is called Shabbos. Why is Shabbos Gematria? Because Shabbos, we go all in. Everything on Shabbos, we go all in on Shabbos. So Pesach, we go all in. It's kulo matzah, it's kulanu mesubin. It's all. We don't want to be chati Jews. I don't want to spend my life as a chetzio eved, chetzio ben choren. Back and forth, you know, yom v'layla. Bouncing back and forth. Illuminated times and dark times. There are things that the Ram says you could be free, and therefore you're chayiv to make yourself free. Have just a couple more minutes. This year, Shabbos and Pesach, all the more so, exactly. Turn to page 12, let's finish up. The Bali Atosvos, the Das Akenu of the Bali Atosvos, in Parshas Vayikra. When the Torah describes karbanos, and every karban's about being close, again, the Bedina Rav that I just shared with you is a limud schus, that maybe we're doomed to be chatzi eved chatzi ben choren, you know? Maybe we're doomed to be a little bit of everything. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. Chafetz Chaim said in the Ikvas of the Mashiacha, since Mashiach is Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that means we're living now in Erev Shabbos. What does Erev Shabbos look like? What is Erev Pesach? Pesach is also called Shabbos. So Erev Pesach is also Erev Shabbos. What does an Erev Pesach look like? It's chaotic. What does Erev Shabbos look like? You're running around, you're doing a little this, a little that, a little this, a little that. Chafetz Chaim said, in the Ikvas of the Mashiacha, Jews are going to be doing a lot of a little bit of different things. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Choren. A little bit here, a little bit there. A little bit all over the place. I can be really good one day, I can be really bad the next day. You know, Oved Es Rabo Yom Echad, Oved Es Atzmo Yom Echad. One day I serve God, one day I serve myself. One day I'm really inspired, one day I'm mamish doing big averos. So by the Karbanos it says that when a person brings a Karban, the Lashon of the Pasuk is Nefesh Ki Sechta. Page 12, top of the page. Nefesh Ki Sechta. What does that mean, nefesh kisechta? Nefesh kisechta, when a soul does an avera. Say the Bali Atosvos in the writings on Chumash, Adam kiyachta ein ksiv. It doesn't say when a person sins. It doesn't say when a body sins. It says when a soul sins. Nefesh kisechta. Adam kiyachta ein ksiv, ela nefesh. V'chein, and similarly we find, ha-nefesh ha-chotas hi-tamus. The soul that sins deserves to die. What do you mean the soul that sins? The soul is the good part of me. The body is the one who's trying to cheat in business, like the Dudai Ruvain taught us. Lo-dia she-ikir ha-chet toli b'nefesh. But sometimes we can't make excuses. We can't say, oh, well, you know, the body was just, nah, come on. Why'd you allow your nefesh to get involved? If your nefesh knows better, so why didn't you actualize that? Sometimes the chait is totally benefesh. I have a good nefesh. I should have known better. Mashal l'shnei b'nei aldam shechatu l'melech. Imagine two people sinned against the king. Echad nachri ve'echad b'nei platrin. One was a foreigner, and one was someone who lived in the palace. A nobleman. A person who's very close to the king. Helu shneim l'bima. They were both brought to court. V'tziva ha-melech liftor asanachri, and the foreigner was excused. They gave him an $18 fine and they let him go. V'saben platrin ladun b'yisurin. But the one who was close to the king, they threw him into a dungeon. And they tortured him. They afflicted him. Amru lo b'nei platrin. So the people of the castle said, I don't understand. The palace, they said, I don't understand. This is your friend. He's so close to you. He's a nobleman. He's worked in your government for so long. V'lo gam zechat alachan. And this other one, he did the same avera. He did the same crime against the king. Why'd you let this guy off scot-free? And you held your beloved one in captivity and you beat him up and you punished him so severely? So the king says, exactly. Amar lehem zen nachri veinu makir betuvi. This one's a foreigner. What can I expect from him? He doesn't know what I do for the people. He doesn't have an appreciation for what I do on behalf of our kingdom. So what does he know better? Haval zeh shu mibnei beisi. But this one, he's part of my palace. He knows who I am. Makir betuvi, he knows how good I am. Upasha bi, and nonetheless, he still what? Rebelled against me. He sinned against me. Yatza din zeh alav, he deserves to be punished. He got exactly what he deserved. Kacha guf hu nachri. So Hashem looks at us and says, right, the fact that your body wants olam hazeh, no surprise. I understand. Hashem says, I get it. I made you with the Yetzirah. I understand what your Yetzirah wants. I know what your body wants. Your body doesn't know any better. So the fact that your body's pulling you in all sorts of directions, I get it. Your body's never min ha-tachtonim. Aval ha-neshama, but your neshama comes min ha-elyonim. I gave you a neshama. Why didn't you use it? Right? Why'd you allow the body to run the business? What does the body know about making the right decisions? Your neshama knows better. So the fact that you didn't what? The fact that you didn't actualize the potential of your neshama, says the pasuk nefesh kisechta. Hashem says, I'm so angry at you. I gave you my daughter, going back to the medrash of Rav Reuven Katz. Right? I gave you my daughter, treat her with respect. I gave you a neshama. Why on earth did you let the body run the business? And therefore the Torah reminds us, don't make excuses, nefesh kisechta. You didn't use your nefesh. You should have known better. You should have used your nefesh. You should have used your nefesh to fight back. You didn't have to allow yourself to live that way. I want to end with two Shem Yishmuels. Okay? Turn to page 13. The Shem Yishmuel writes in Parshas Vayechi that it's possible for a Jew to live a wholesome life. You don't have to live your life as what? Misha chetzio eved vechetzio ben chor. Like the Mishnah told us in Psachim Pei Zayin. The pasuk says on page 13, "Vayihi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav, vayihi yemei Yaakov, vayihi singular, vayihi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav." Yesh ledaktek shayitzarach lichto vayihiyu. It should have said, "Vayihiyu yemei Yaakov." Why is it in the singular, "Vayihi yemei Yaakov"? Nira shabal rameis shayu kol yamav bechad katira. Yaakov was able to live his life with a singular focus. Yaakov didn't get lost in this world. Kamosha Amar Rashbi, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Zohar Kadosh, Kol Yomin di Iskatra b'hayalma, all of my days connected to this world, Bechad Ketira Iskatarna Bei B'kutra B'richu. I did not, for one second, disconnect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was connected to Hashem every day. V'ayinu Af Shem Mishunos, how you told us Yomav, even though life sends you a lot of different things. But it doesn't have to be work for your master one day, work for yourself another day. Again, master could be Hashem and self could be self. Or master could be Yetzer Hara and self could be being true to yourself. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo. Bechol Dor Vador. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo Kilu Yatzim Mitzrayim. A Pasha Pshat is, a person needs to see himself as leaving Mitzrayim. But there's a Pshat. I first heard this Pshat from one of my students from TABC. I haven't seen him in, I don't know, a million years. 9 years ago, he told me this Pshat. Lior Shachar. I think he's in Israel somewhere. He told me once on a Pesach, he came to visit me at my in-laws in Muncie, and he said, Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo. Right? I'm sure a lot of Sfarim say it. But I didn't know as much then as I know now, I hope. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo. A person needs to see himself. And if you see your true self, Kiyul Yatzim Mitzrayim. Not just see yourself as leaving Mitzrayim. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo. The Avodah of Pesach is to see your true self. And the true me is the Neshama that's in charge. Not Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So Yaakov Avinu, like Rishu Bar Yochai, said, every day of my life was connected to Hashem. Yeah, life came with a lot of different things. Yaakov Avinu's life, come on. Yaakov had so many ups and downs over the course of his life. And yet nonetheless, what? Yaakov was able to see a oneness to his life. Says the Shem Yishmuel, six lines from the bottom. That's the Vayihi, Lashon Yachid. Vayihi Yimei Yaakov. All the different Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov and Lavan, Yaakov with the sale of Yosef, Yaakov and Dina. It was all one thing. He was able to keep his eye on the oneness of Hashem. Cave and the low mifsiki leilos miyavim kachad yom arichta damya. Like the Gemara says in Sukkah, that you can have a scenario, you can have a situation where the halacha applies around the clock. Take a sukkah, for example. Sukkah is basically around the clock mitzvah. You eat in the sukkah, you sleep in the sukkah, you hang out in the sukkah. So you have a situation where what? Where the days and the nights kind of don't break from one another. So you almost view it as one long day. You view it as one long day, one long experience. It's not periods of Vayi Erev, Vayi Voker. That's Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chor. The gematria of Chetzio Eved v'Chetzio Ben Chorin, like the Mishnah says, Chetzio Eved v'Chetzio Ben Chorin, that's the lashon of the Mishnah. Misha Chetzio Eved v'Chetzio Ben Chorin. So Chetzio Eved v'Chetzio Ben Chorin, the term the Mishnah uses and the Rambam uses, is gematria 636, is gematria Vayi Erev, Vayi Voker. It's a life of Erev and Voker, day and night, but a person who says, what do you mean? I hold on to that light of Hashem. It's always light. The Seder night is not night. I told you many times. Laila kayom yayir. It's still day. It's yom ha'arichta. It's one long awareness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that was the life of Yaakov Avinu, and that's the life that, again, is Shayach teaching every one of us. Turn to the last page, page 15. 636, I believe. Turn to the last page. One more Shem Yishmuel. Okay, and this is really a tefillah. There's a very obvious, for anyone who is paying close attention, there's a very obvious hint that Chazal left us in the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah in the third parak of Pesachim. The third parak of Pesachim begins by describing forbidden mixtures, which is everything we've been talking about today. Forbidden mixtures. I don't want to spend my life being a terrible mix of Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. There's a lot to talk about. Taruvos chametz, a mixture of chametz with other things. That was what the shiur was originally going to be about until I got into this whole Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin business. Originally, I wanted to speak about forbidden mixtures and talk about what happens when you have a little bit of chametz that's mixed into something. It's the same sugya. So the third parak of Pesachim begins by talking about what? Eilu ovrin b'Pesach. These are things that it's usher to have on Pesach, and it gives examples of things that have some chametz mixed in. It's an amazing list, if you look at the list. Okay, says the Shem Yishmuel, take a look, source 15 by the arrow. He's really explaining why Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol. But that Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Pesachim says the following. I read you the whole Mishnah. Okay, you don't have the whole Mishnah on the page in front of you, just listen for half a second. Ve'elu ovrin ba'Pesach. This is what you're in violation of having on Pesach. Kutach habavli. The Babylonian kutach was a type of dip that had some stale bread thrown into it. Sheikhar hamadi. Chometz ha'adomi. Zesom ha'mitzri. Have you understand what's hinted to in all of these things? Bavel, Madai, Edom, Mitzrayim, right? Zesom ha'mitzri, maybe the Thais of Yavan. The mixtures. Galus is mixtures. When a Galus, a Jew is in a state of mixture. Coming home to Eretz Yisrael, Lashana Abba, Ba'ar Yisrael, Hashata Avde, Lashana Abba, Ba'ar Yisrael. I don't want to be a mix anymore. my life, Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. What an amazing Rambam. The Rambam is telling us, if you're Chatzi, you could be free, then you're a nothing. Then you have no Karban Pesach. Then you're not, you don't experience the Geulas Mitzrayim. So says the Shem Yishmuel, read inside by the arrow. Hinei b'mishnah psachim, eilu ovrin b'pesach, tach habavli, that's Bavel, sheichar amadi, that's Madai. Hi, Madai is the Purim story. Chometz ha'adomi, that's Edom, that's where we find ourselves today, Golas Edom, this is Hesheni. Zeisom ha'mitzri is both Mitzrayim and Yavan, Shem Yishmuel. Nirash ha'zeisom ha'mitzri, Romez li'yavan. As we know that what? At Yosefon, in Josephus, it says that Alexander the Great had a shayt Mitzrayim, v'talmi melech Mitzrayim, melech Yavan haya. And of course, Zeisom, Zayas, is the olive oil of Hanukkah, is Yavan. Hine nizkru po arba malchios. So hinted to in the forbidden mixtures that you need to get rid of on Pesach, says the Shem Yishmuel, Tefer Shlomo Verdamsk is the same vart. Says the Shem Yishmuel, you got to try to get rid of these mixtures, all these malchios. V'chein Isa b'sefer Meiser Okeach, and the same idea is found in the Meiser Okeach. V'yesh lomar, Sheparo melech Mitzrayim, Haya lepoel demyoni lechol arba malchios. When we talk about getting out of Mitzrayim, defeating Paro, freeing ourselves, right, we know that Mitzrayim is the root of all galus. That means getting out of Mitzrayim is about getting out of whatever galus you find yourself in. Ki kol ha-malchios nikra al-shem Mitzrayim, because all of the malchios are called Mitzrayim, like the Medrash says. U'bavadai koach Paro ha-yukolul me'arbasan. And therefore, in Mitzrayim, we had all of the exiles combined. And we got out of Mitzrayim, which means what? It laid the groundwork for us to get out of whatever gullus we find ourselves in. And therefore, what does he say? U'kamo shemapalasim ha'isav ha'pesach. Just like we left Mitzrayim on Pesach, kein kol arba malchios kulan tavam apalasan v'yizbaru ba'pesach. So hopefully Pesach, we come to the Seder night with the hope and the belief that I don't have to be an Eved. I could be a kulo ben chor. I could be kulo matzah. I could be kulanu mesubim. The four sons, echad this, echad that. I told you, we're all the four sons. When it says echad and echad, it means it could be the same person. We're a little bit of chacham, we're a little bit of rasha, we're a little bit of tam, we're a little bit shenei de'alishol, we're a little bit bava, a little bit madai, a little bit yavan, a little bit edom. We're a lot of different things. But the avod of a yid is to become kula matza, to become entirely animam and be'emuna shalema, to be completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to remove any mixtures of chametz in our life, any mix of avdus and cheiros, and to become emistik b'nei chorin all the way through. No? I'm a